Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome here in Jesus' name this morning. And it's been a while since I've been up here. 5 weeks ago today, I was scheduled to preach, and then you know what happened. We had our baby early, and things went the way they did there. And somewhere about Saturday or Sunday, that same weekend, my wife told me, she said, "You're welcome for not having to preach," and because she knew about how easy it was for me. And I said, "Well, I'd rather preach than to go through that." So that's kind of, and at that time, I didn't know what I was going to preach on. I was struggling to come up with something, and I had kind of settled on a subject. But anyway, through that, it kind of is where this message came from. And that is taking things for granted. And I can't take you to a verse in the Bible that says taking things for granted. There's stories in the Bible, and I think it refers to this. Basically, the definition here, to take something lightly or underestimate its value, fail to properly appreciate someone or something, especially as a result of familiarity, maybe that's how you say that. And comfort to life can be one of them things. I did find a story in the Bible that I'm going to read. Ezekiel 27, if you want to turn to that. Ezekiel 27, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's quite a story talking about this city. So Ezekiel 27, "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyrus, and say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles. Thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all thy ship boards of fir trees, of cedar." I don't know if I'm saying these words right, but anyway. "They have taken cedars from Lebanon to make masts for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thine oars. The company of the Asherites have made thy benches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Shittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy sail. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. The inhabitants of Zidon and Arvad were thy mariners. Thy wise men, O Tyrus, that were in thee were thy pilots. The ancients of Gebel and the wise men thereof were in thee, thy caulkers. All the ships of the sea with their mariners were in thee to occupy thy merchandise. They of Persia and of Lud and of Phut were in thine army, thy men of war, they hanged the shield and helmet in thee. They set forth thy comeliness. The men of Arvad were with thine army were upon thy walls round about, and the Gammadims were in thy towers. They hanged their shields upon thy walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Tarshish was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of all kinds of riches, with silver, iron, tin and lead. They traded in thy fares. Javan, Tubal, and Meshech, they were thy merchants. They traded the persons of men and vessels of brass in thy market. They of the house of Togarma traded in thy fairs with horses and horsemen and mules. The men of Dedan were thy merchants. Many isles were the merchandise of thine hand. They brought thee for a present horns of ivory and ebony. Syria was thy merchant by reason of the multitude of the wares of thy making. They occupied in thy fairs with emeralds, purple embroidered work, and fine linen and coral and agate. Judah and the land of Israel, they were thy merchants. They traded in thy market wheat of Minnith and Panag and honey and oil and balm. Damascus was thy merchant in the multitude of the wares of thy making, for the multitude of all riches, in the wine of Helbon and white wool. Dan also and Javan, going to and fro, occupied in thy fairs. Bright iron, cassia, and calamus were in thy market. Dedan was thy merchant in precious clothes for chariots. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they occupied with thee in lambs and rams and goats. In these were they thy merchants. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah, they were thy merchants. They occupied in thy fairs with chief of all spices and with all precious stones and gold. Haran and Canaan and Eden, the merchants of Sheba, Asher, and Kilmad were thy merchants. These were thy merchants in all sorts of things, in blue clothes and embroidered work, and in chests of rich apparel, bound with cords, and made of cedar, among thy merchandise. The ships of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market, and thou wast replenished, and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Thy rowers have brought thee into great waters. The east wind hath broken thee in the midst of the seas. Thy riches and thy fares, thy merchandise, thy mariners and thy pilots, thy caulkers, and the occupiers of thy merchandise, and all thy men of war that are in thee and in thy company, which is in the midst of thee, shall fall into the midst of the seas in the day of thy ruin. The suburbs shall shake at the sound of the cry of thy pilots, and all that handle the oar, the mariners, and all the pilots of the sea shall come down from their ships. They shall stand upon the land, and shall cause their voice to be heard against thee, and shall cry bitterly, and shall cast up dust upon their heads. They shall wallow themselves in the ashes, and they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth, and they shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing. And in their wailing they shall take up a lamentation for thee, and lament over thee, saying, What city is like Tyrus, like the destroyed in the midst of the sea? When thy wares went forth out of the seas, thou fillest many people. Thou didst enrich the kings of the earth with the multitude of thy riches and of thy merchandise. In the time when thou shalt be broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, thy merchandise and all thy company in the midst of thee shall fall. All the inhabitants of the isle shall be astonished at thee, and their kings shall be sore afraid. They shall be troubled in their countenance. The merchants among the people shall hiss at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt be any more. So you see a picture here of a city that had everything. And they had riches, and they had everything a man could want. And what was wrong with them? They was doing a lot of people a lot of good. It says here in verse 3 that they said, I am of perfect beauty. So there was pride there. And if you go into chapter 28, the first 10 verses, it talks about the king and how God condemned the king. And basically the king was a proud man, and he thought of himself as a god. And he took credit to all this stuff to himself. And you might wonder, well, what does that have to do with taking things for granted? And I would like, it's real easy for me to think that this city, this king took for granted what they had. They did not understand where it came from, and they did not give God the glory for it. They took it to themselves. So they took these things for granted, and God destroyed them because of their pride. There's so many things that we have and enjoy that are so easy to be taken for granted. You can think about your health. You know, most of us are healthy, but you let yourself get sick and come down with a fever or a bad cough or whatever, and you can't go about your life, and you realize that you was taking your health for granted. If you have a job that pays more than you need to take care of your family, are you taking it for granted? There's a lot of people that don't have that. If you would have clean drinking water and your air conditioning, electricity, Walmart, Dollar General, have them just go away overnight, and you would realize real quick that you was taking these things for granted. You know, we go in our house and we flip the light switch on, and we expect the light to come on. And if it don't, it don't worry us much, because it's a fix isn't far away. And yet, let a day go by with no electricity, or half a day, and we start realizing how nice it is for electricity. What about your church or the freedom to have church? We can come here unhindered and worship. Are you taking that for granted today? Our friends and our family. And I know I take y'all as my church family. I take you for granted too much. And over the time of when we had our baby, you realize over that time how much your church means to you and how much your friends mean to you. It's so easy to not realize. And I think if we was more grateful for our church, I think if churches across the world were more grateful for what they have in their church and they seen what they had instead of, I don't think there would be the troubles. I think people would understand, not be taken for granted, the things that they enjoy. We realize we were really taking them for granted. And I can say that about my wife. When she almost died in the hospital, I realized how much she actually meant to me. It was like we get used to these things. We get used to our wives. We get used to light away. And you realize what they mean to you. And it was, and you know, at that time, you can't do this in all of life, but at that time, whatever my wife needed, whatever my wife wanted, is what she got. And if I ran out of money, I would just, I'll start selling equipment. Whatever it takes, you do, because you realize how much they mean to you. Or what you have planned or anything else, it doesn't matter. Back when he was just 2.5 years old, and you know, at the time, 2 nickels to rub together, and I remember thinking that no expense mattered if he was okay. It's been a little while back, or probably, well, it's probably been 2 months ago, maybe a month and a half. One early Saturday morning, Reagan was going to go fishing with Joe, and in the middle of the night sometime, or maybe that evening late, I think it was in the middle of the night, I woke up and I had this panicky feeling. What if he fell in the lake and drowned somehow? And it was like all of a sudden I could see what he meant to me. And I could see that I was taking him for granted. One man says, don't take yourself for granted. God has given you abundant talent to do something wonderful and beautiful. So don't take yourself for granted. Be what God wants you to be. This is a Memorial Day weekend, and it's in memory of fallen soldiers. And while we don't believe in going to war, Jesus said his kingdom was not of this world, or his servants would fight. Are we taking for granted the freedom that we enjoy in our country from the sacrifice of others? And I would say this morning there's a lot of people in Ukraine that realized what they was taking for granted 2 years ago when they was invaded. I would say it stood out to them. Things changed a lot for a lot of people. A quote I have says this: no amount of regret changes the past. No amount of anxiety changes the future. But any amount of gratitude changes the present. Are we grateful for what we have in any situation we find ourselves? In the book of Exodus, we read about God's people in bondage to Egypt. And we know this story well. And how when Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and told him that God wanted his people to leave and go worship God, is what Moses told them. And Pharaoh, he hardened his heart, which God knew he would. He told Moses he would. And he made their work harder on them. He made whatever hardship they had before, they got it a lot worse. They had to do way harder work. Some were beaten when they couldn't get their jobs done. So they had all of this going on, and we know about the plagues. And so God was working on Pharaoh, but he was working on Israel, on the Israelites too, I believe. He was preparing them and he was helping them to see his power and to trust in him. And I'll just read through the different plagues. The first one was the water turning to blood, and then it was the frogs jumping everywhere, the dust turned to lice, and then there was flies. All the Egyptians' livestock died. Then they had boils. And the first few, their magicians, the Egyptian magicians, could make happen the same thing that Moses and Aaron did. But I thought it was really interesting that when the boils hit, the magicians could not stand before Pharaoh because of the boils. I thought that was interesting. God was turning up the heat. They had a hail, locust, darkness, and I don't know for sure. It only specifies it in the last several that none of this happened to the Israelites. But it does. I would like to think that none of it actually happened to the Israelites. They lived in Goshen, so they could see what was happening to the Egyptians, and they could feel God's power, and they could believe in His saving them from this country. The last plague was the death of the firstborn. And again, we know that that the Israelites were spared when they applied the blood. They could see their deliverance forming. After 430 years, they could see that they was going to have freedom, and they could believe it. But after all God did, all the plagues to the Egyptians, the Red Sea crossing, the miracle after miracle that happened. He gave them food and water out of basically thin air, you might say. But we know how the story was. God's people received so much. And once they was used to God's goodness, they took it for granted and started to complain. And it made me think of what we have today. And I wonder if we're much different today. How do we view our salvation? In a spiritual sense, we've all been in Egypt under a hard master. Jesus' blood has set us free. And the songwriter says it. He says, oh, it is a miracle to become born again. But when the newness wears off and we get used to our salvation, do we start to take this miracle for granted and possibly even begin to complain about some things? I see this tendency in my life. It's, you get used to being saved and it's just kind of the new wears off and you don't treasure it like you should. How do you think God feels when people take for granted his gift to mankind? Jesus, God's only son, it tells us in John 3:16, it was God's own son, only son. And I thought about that when Reagan got kicked. He was my only son. And I thought about that. How did God do that? Because it felt impossible for me to think about that. And yet God did. It was his only son. What if we almost lost our salvation? What if you realized that your salvation was almost to leave? The peace of forgiveness was going to be missing in your life. Eternity in heaven was going to not be an option anymore. You were going to face what you deserved. What if that happened? I think we would realize what we're taking for granted. In closing, I'll read, a man may go to heaven without health, without wealth, without fame, without a great name, without learning, without earning, without culture, without beauty, without friends, and without 10,000 other things, but he can never go to heaven without Christ. God help us not to take for granted salvation through Jesus' blood, God's great sacrifice, and the many other daily blessings we have from God. Let's kneel for prayer.